One of the biggest spiritual obstacles that I encounter in people knowing the reality of God and his unfathomable love for them is that they don't think they're worthy of it. And in our human way of thinking, that in a certain sense seems very true. You know, was the prodigal son worthy of being welcomed back in the way that his father welcomed him back? Aren't we tempted to react in the same way the elder son reacted? You what? After what he did to you, you essentially telling you by asking for his inheritance in advance that he wished you were already dead? It was bad enough that you actually gave him the inheritance that he had no right to demand. But after he has totally squandered it all away, you welcome him back as if nothing ever happened. In fact, you kill the fatted calf and throw a party for him. You've never done that for me. How many of us can relate to the elder son's thinking? I know I can at times. Now, the elder son's thinking may be coming from a good place, perhaps a sense of justice, maybe looking out for his dad, right? What was the just thing for the father to do? It seems the father had every right to reject his son. His father gave him his share of the inheritance in advance, and what he did with it was his choice, right? He has to live with the consequences. By him leaving the way he did, the father could have said to the prodigal son, man, you're dead to me. But this is a very human way of thinking, huh? And God wants to reveal to us his heart toward you and me, his children. He wants to reveal to us his ways that, as he tells us through the prophet Isaiah, are not our ways. See, the reality God wants us to realize and internalize today is this: you never cease being my child. You think your sonship is based on whether or not you live an upright life, but you never cease being my son. You never cease being my daughter. You can run away from me, squander all that I have given you, even if you use it for immoral ways, but in my eyes, you have never ceased being my child. And I have never stopped loving you. You can be away for years, but I'm always watching for your return. See, the prodigal son really never knew his father, did he? He never took the time to really get at the heart of who his father was. And what I want to propose to you is that perhaps this is what is keeping us at a distance from God. Because if you knew how badly in love God is with you personally, perhaps we wouldn't keep ourselves at such a distance. Sometimes we think it's God who rejects us. Maybe we've had some issues with earthly father issues that have negatively colored our view of our heavenly father. So sometimes we think it's God who rejects us, but actually we're the ones by going our own way that spiritually rejects him. Like the prodigal son, separation from God is our choice. Right? We're the ones who spiritually distance ourselves from him. But did you notice that line in the parable as the son decides to return to his father, what the father was doing? While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him. The father had been waiting for him longingly, but patiently. So when we've chosen to go our own way, longingly but patiently, God waits for us. He doesn't force himself upon us, but when we do begin making our way back to him, what does God do? Does he lay down the heavy on us? You know, how dare you show your face in this place? Does he wait for us to grovel before him? Is that what he does? No. In the parable, when the father caught sight of his son, the father runs to him. Father doesn't care if he makes a fool out of himself. So overjoyed he is at the return of his son. For a father back in the time of ancient Israel to stoop so low beneath his dignity would be unheard of. But this father doesn't let pride get in the way of love. And guess who else could care less about stooping so low beneath his dignity? Right? In Jesus Christ. God emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in the likeness of men. And to this day, Jesus comes to us in even humbler appearances. On this day, he will be with us in the mere appearance of bread. In every tabernacle on the face of the earth, God waits longingly but patiently for the return of his prodigal sons. All three of today's parables make clear that Jesus has come to call not the righteous, but sinners. Sinners who have forgotten who they are. Sinners who have forgotten their dignity. At first, those sinners may be coming back only when they are desperate, right? When some misfortune of life has gotten them so down that they finally come to their senses and return back to the Father's house. And those sinners may also be coming back to the Father with no expectation of being recognized as the son or daughter of the Father. So deep was their betrayal of their Father. But those sinners would be making the same wrong assumption that both the prodigal son and the elder son make. That wrong assumption is that it was their actions and their good works, or lack thereof, that it was their own doing that determines their status in the eyes of the Father. But can you see why thinking this way may be the greater offense to God? Can you recognize why it might be an insult to God to think that it's my actions, my good works, my own doing that determines whether or not I'm a son or daughter of God? It's because you mistakenly think that it's about you. You've made it about you and what you've done, as opposed to recognizing the reality that it is total gift. It's all grace. The fact that we are children of God is pure gift from the Father. And to think you've earned that, it's not only heretical, but pretty darn arrogant. And it's from this fundamental error that we begin thinking we're inherently better than other people around us, or, depending on what our spiritual malady is, that we think we're inherently worse than the people around us. When each of us, in reality, have the unsurpassable dignity as one of God's children. But when we realize it's all gift, whether we identify more with the prodigal son or the elder son, then all we can be is thankful, not entitled, but filled with gratitude that we are so loved and that we get to love him who is infinitely worthy of all our love. And this abiding sense of gratitude is at the heart, it's the key of being happy and joyful in life. For us to more deeply and more personally know the Father's mercy and his embrace in returning to him, God provides us a beautiful sacrament. It's the sacrament of reconciliation. This gift of confession provides us a concrete way of doing exactly what the prodigal son did. And remember what he did on the way back to his father? He was kind of rehearsing what he was going to say. You know, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Well, that sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? What do we do in confession? We reflect on, rehearse a little bit what we're going to say. Father, forgive me, for I've sinned. It's been so long, right? And then after you confess your sins, any priest confessor worth his salt is going to receive you with God's mercy, remind you of who you are as a son or daughter of God, and to offer you as a representative of Jesus that new beginning. See, too many of us mistakenly think that our sins nullify us as children of God. But the sacrament of baptism that we'll be celebrating after this Mass gives, that sacrament of baptism that you receive, gives us an indelible mark that even those who choose to separate themselves from God, whether temporarily here on earth or for eternity, never lose that permanent sign that they are children of God. And so when you walk into that confessional, God has never wavered in loving you as his son or daughter. We are the ones, through a life away from the Father, have made us unrecognizable to ourselves. And that's when we forget our dignity. But God has always seen you as his child. And it's the sacrament of reconciliation that wipes away the stain of mortal sin that has obscured our identity from our very selves. As the priest confers the prayer of absolution upon you, you're given the grace to begin seeing yourself as God sees you, as his beloved son, as his beloved daughter, in whom he delights, reminding you of your true identity. Because anything that is not of God is not of your true identity. And the Holy Father, the Heavenly Father, sees you for who you will be for all eternity in the heavenly kingdom. So if you haven't gotten to confession for a while, please avail yourselves of that gift. We not only have our own times on Saturday and Thursday, but I also have Wednesday evenings that are reserved for appointments. So just call Chris at the parish office to get scheduled. We also have the confession times of our nearby sister parishes, like St. Mary, just down the street, has it every Saturday morning, if that's a better time for you, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. It's the sacrament of reconciliation that welcomes you back to the Father's house, that welcomes you back into the feast of receiving Jesus, the Lamb of God, in the Eucharist, right? And that restores the innocence, your innocence, and allows you to grow again, to grow young again as a child of God. So to conclude, I'd like to sing a verse, a couple of verses of a beautiful song by Rich Mullins based on this parable called Growing Young. And I would have had the cantor sing it, but the idea just came to me this weekend, so I didn't have time to let him know, but so you'll have to settle for me, which, and I'm no crooner like Father Jim Shaver. But as you hear these words, I'd encourage you just to close your eyes and direct them as your own prayer to God, our loving Father. I've gone so far from my home. I've seen the world and I have known so many secrets. I wish now I did not know, 'cause they have crept into my heart. They have left it cold and dark and bleeding, bleeding and falling apart. And everybody used to tell me, big boys don't cry. Well, I've been around enough to know that that was the lie that held back the tears in the eyes of 1,000 prodigal sons. Well, we are children no more. We have sinned and grown old. And our Father still waits as he watches down the road to see the crying boys come running back to his arms and be growing young. Na, 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 growing young. I've seen silver turn to dross, seen the very best there ever was, and I'll tell you, it ain't worth what it costs. And I remember my Father's house. What I wouldn't give right now just to see him and hear him tell me that he loves me so much. And everybody used to tell me, big boys don't cry. Well, I've been around enough to know that that was the lie that held back the tears in the eyes of 1,000 prodigal sons. Well, we are children no more. We have sinned and grown old. And our Father still waits as he watches down the road to see the crying boys come running back to his arms and be growing young. Na, 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 growing young.